preacher left the knife where it was, balled his right fist, and put the considerable power of his body behind it. The mountain man's punch against his jaw drove him into the bar with bone-crushing force, and the man's arms flew wide. Like a fool, the man had been trying to reload his pistol, and the empty pistol slipped from his fingers, flew across the room, and smashed into the face of a burly keelboat man. The red-headed whore, who had started the whole ruckus by screaming in pain when the black-bearded man grabbed her by the hair and jerked her up against him, now threw her arms around Preacher's neck.
You saved me from that brute.
She came up on her toes and planted her painted mouth right on Preacher's mouth. Now, Preacher didn't have any objections to kissing a whore, but he knew better than to close his eyes while he was doing it, too. He saw the keelboat man leap up from the table, blood running like twin rivers from his busted nose. He looked ready to charge. Clearly, the fella didn't care whose fault it was that he'd gotten walloped in the snoot. The black-bearded man had collapsed on the floor at the foot of the bar, so he would head for the combatant who was still on his feet and take out his rage. Preacher thought about shoving the whore at the man to trip him. I mean, after all, she'd had a hand in this mess. But that wouldn't be the chivalrous thing to do, and Preacher tried on occasion to be a gentleman. So he took hold of the redhead under the arms and picked her up.
You better scoot, darling.
He patted her attractive rump and then swung her out of the way. He turned back to the keelboat man. The man charged like a maddened bull. Preacher lifted a foot, and that fella's groin ran right into it at top speed. He doubled over, curling around the agony he felt, but he still barreled into Preacher like somebody had bowled him in a game of nine pins. They both went down on the sawdust-littered tavern floor, and then several of the keelboat man's friends came at Preacher like a herd of stampeding buffalo.
Get him!
But somebody crashed into the group from the side with widespread arms, and he swept two leaders off their feet. That gave Preacher time to get his hands and knees under him and surge up to his feet. He snatched a bucket of beer from a nearby table and waded into the remaining three men, swinging the bucket like a medieval flail. Two of them went down, but the third man landed a punch to the side of Preacher's head. The mountain man's ears rang. Working on keelboats gave a fella plenty of muscles. One of the men Preacher had knocked down grabbed his leg and twisted. Preacher tried to kick the man free. The one who was still on his feet took advantage of the distraction and hammered a punch to Preacher's solar plexus. Then he tackled Preacher around the waist and dragged him to the floor. He clamped a hand around the throat of one opponent, and he banged his head against the punching so hard it made the man's eyes roll back in his socket. He was out of the fight after that. Another man looped an arm around Preacher's neck from behind and squeezed. The man's forearm was like an iron bar. Preacher was still mostly out of breath, and as long as the man was choking him like that, he couldn't get any air in. Everything started to go hazy around him, and Preacher knew it wasn't just from all the pipe smoke that hung in the air inside Red Mike's. He felt the hot breath of the man who was choking him against the back of his neck. That meant his face was right handy. Preacher drove his head back into his nose as hard as he could. That loosened the man's grip enough for Preacher to gulp down a breath, but the man was stubborn and he did not let go. Instead, he stood up and hauled Preacher with him. Upright again, Preacher spotted the fella who had pitched in to help him. He was part of a tangled mass of flailing fists and kicking feet a few yards away. The rest of the tavern's patrons had grabbed their drinks and their serving wenches and gotten the hell out of the way, clearing a space in front of the bar for the battles.
Hang on to him, Rory! We'll teach him he can't treat us that way!
As his friend kept up the pressure on Preacher's throat, he closed in with his knobby mallet-like fist, poised to hand the mountain man a good beating. As the man rushed in, Preacher grabbed the arm across his throat with both hands, pulled his feet off the floor, lifted his knees, and then lashed out with both legs. His boot heels caught the man in the chest with such force that he was knocked back about a dozen feet before he landed on one of Red Mike's rough-hewn tables, and he lay there with his arms and legs splayed out. Preacher got his feet on the floor again and drove hard with them, forcing the man who held him backward. The small of the man's back struck the edge of the bar. It was enough to make him let go completely. Preacher lifted an elbow up and back. It caught the man on the jaw and snapped his head around. Preacher pivoted, took hold of the man's Lindsay Woolsey shirt, and forced him up and over the bar. The man who'd helped Preacher had his hands full with his two opponents. One man had him down on the floor choking him, while the other man tried to kick him and stomp him in the head. Preacher laced his fingers, stepped up, and swung his clubbed hands against the back of the second man's neck. With the odds even now, Preacher's ally was able to cup his hands and slap him over the ears of the man choking. Finally freed, the man bucked up from the floor and swung a right and a left that had his opponent rolling across the puncheons. The man landed with both knees in his opponent's belly, and he sledged two more punches down into his face. That ended the fight. The brawny Irishman behind the bar, the tavern's namesake, did not look particularly happy.
Preacher, does this have to happen every time you come in here?
Preacher had picked up the broad-brimmed, round-crowned gray felt hat that had been knocked off his head early in the fracas. He punched it back into its usual shape.
Well, it appears that it does, Mike.